Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and today we're going to be covering, you know, a couple of the big events that are coming up this Cinco de Mayo weekend. We have a UFC Fight Night on Fox, which is going to be featuring Andre Arlovsky versus Alistair Overeem. And then also we're going to roll into talking about the Invicta FC 17 event that's actually going to be going on tonight. And then we're going to wrap things up today with a little bit of UFC news, because UFC and Dana actually released some pretty interesting, pretty impactful fights that are going to be coming up over the next couple of months. And so we're going to touch on that. Just stay with us, and thank you very much. Okay, so let's get started here. Let's talk about UFC Fight Night, which is the main event, is Andre Arlovsky versus Alistair Overeem, which, you know, this is a fight that's going to actually carry, have some serious title, you know, implications here. You know, when you look at, Andre Arlovsky, yes, he just came off of a devastating knockout loss by Stipe Miocic, but, you know, before that, Arlovsky had ran off six straight impressive wins. You know, Arlovsky had dropped off the planet, was out of the UFC, and then just, you know, out of nowhere, just came back, got right back in the title picture, and, you know, was right there waiting on his title shot pretty much. And then, you know, he got nailed with, you know, a shot that he wasn't prepared for. An upset loss, but I don't really think it really derails his chances of being a champion or contending for the champion. And then, you know, Alistair Overeem, Overeem's been, you know, his last three fights, he's coming off of, you know, three really impressive wins of some top name fighters, UFC fighters. I mean, starting out with Stefan Struve, who he knocked out on, I mean, he devastatingly knocked out Stefan Struve. I mean, really just leveled him. And then after that, he rolled right into Roy Nelson, won a convincing win against Roy Nelson by decision. And then he rolls into, you know, his big fight with Junior. And, you know, I thought Junior was going to, you know, this would be an easy fight for Junior, get right back into contending for the championship. Especially, you know, with Cain losing, I thought this would be just, you know, Junior taking care of business. And Alistair just came in there and just leveled Junior and finished him off. And I was just speechless on that one. But that was, you know, that was one of those matches where it really put him back on the map again. So, you know, you have Arlovsky, who has ran off, you know, 6-1 with, you know, one surprise knockout. And then you actually have Alistair Overeem, who's ran off three really impressive wins. If Alistair pulls this off and knocks out Arlovsky, you have to say he's right back in the title picture. So, you know, you have UFC Fight Night with Alistair and Arlovsky. But then on this card, which I think is a great Fox card in general, you start off with, you know, you also have Gunnar Nelson on this card, which I think is going to be a, you know, anytime you can see Gunnar Nelson, and he's one of those guys that, you know, it's always fun to watch, a great contender. And then you run right into a situation where you're going to actually see, could be the fight of the night, in my opinion. You have Antonio Bigfoot Silva versus Stefan Struve. You have, you know, the big powerhouse, the giant, you know, Bigfoot Silva versus the 7-foot skyscraper Stefan Struve. Both of these guys pack a lot of punch, a lot of power. Now the chin's on, you know, Bigfoot and Stefan Struve. Man, talk about suspect. Both of these guys can easily get caught. Both of these guys can easily get knocked out, but both of these guys carry, you know, a power punch. So, you know, this is one of those fights where you can't just sit down and think you're going to get up and go grab a snack, because this fight could be over as soon as it starts. Yeah, both of them, I mean, what can you say about, you know, two big powerhouses like this? Well, anyway, just wanted to touch on the UFC Fight Night card. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about Invicta FC 17. Please stay tuned. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We were just talking about the UFC Fight Night card on Fox, which is going to be this Saturday. But then we're also going to talk a little bit about the fights that are going to be on tonight, which is the Invicta FC Fighting Championships, Mixed Martial Arts, which is the, you know, the women's division. And the main event is maybe one of the best fighters, female fighters, I think, on, you know, on the planet, which is Tanya Evinger. Tanya, just I look at her and I scratch my head sometime, because she's that country girl that you know, born, lives it. She's a very, very tough woman. And I really, a lot of times when you think about who's some of the top fighters in fighting, every time you traditionally go, with the exception of Cyborg, you always go right to the UFC fighters. But Tanya is that one person that gets left off the list that I would, you know, if you put her in the ring with any of those guys, I don't think anyone would be disappointed. I think a lot of people would be shocked at how well she would compete with some of the top UFC fighters and some of the top fighters, you know, around. Now, she's defending her bantamweight title against Colleen Snyder. And, you know, and I think it'll be a good fight. But honestly, when you're sitting there and you're looking at Evinger and she's actually fighting traditionally, I just wait for, you know, her to take care of business, grab her belt and roll on out, because she's one of the best fighters in women's mixed martial arts. Now, this card also has a second title match on here, which I find very interesting, because, you know, a lot of times when I think of, you know, it's Angela Overkill Hill, I traditionally think of her from, you know, The Ultimate Fighter, where, you know, she was a tough fighter, but, you know, never really got going. And one of the things, you know, she had a couple of losses. She ended up going back down and ended up at Invicta. And, you know, she got a few wins and you kind of righted her ship and was able to get right back into the title picture. And she's actually going to be taking on Olivia Sosa, who Olivia Sosa is actually the strawweight champion, a very tough game fighter. And I think you got a really good fight here where, I look at this as a, you know, flip a coin kind of fight, where I think either one of these guys, I wouldn't be shocked if the title stayed with Sosa, but if it went with Hill, I wouldn't be shocked either. It's one of those fights that I think it'll be a lot of action. It'll be interesting. So that is definitely one of the fights you want to tune into as well. Now, one of the things I do like about this Invicta FC 17 fight is it has two stars, or two future stars, that a lot of people may not know, but I think people should start getting familiar with. And the first one is one of my absolute favorites. That's Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson is a really tough Australian woman. She's been training in the U.S. for about the past year. Each time I see her, she gets better and better. Very tall, you know, just 6 foot woman, long range, very tough. She's fighting on this card. The thing about Megan Anderson, though, is when I look at Megan, I say, with a little bit more training, a little bit more polish, is she going to be the one that actually goes and fights Cyborg and actually gives Cyborg a real run for her money? Cyborg kind of wants to stay at that 145 range. She really doesn't want to drop down to 135. Well, Megan's that one fighter that has the frame and have the body, being so tall that she can put the weight on. She could fight at 135, but she could also fight at 145. So I'm really interested in her. And then, you know, there's Charmaine Tweet, which is another fighter who's very tall and rangy, very sharp, super tough. So you have two of my favorite Invicta fighters fighting on the same card. Who knows? These two ladies could actually end up fighting each other. But if not, I could definitely see them contending for a title within the next year or two. Now, with that, you know, I just wanted to touch on a little bit about Invicta and some of the exciting fights that are coming up. When I come back, we'll touch on a little bit of the UFC news, because there was a lot of fights that were announced and pretty exciting fights. So just give us a minute and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. And, you know, I wanted to touch on, before we wrap things up, a couple of announcements that was made at the latter part of this week that I was actually really excited about. The UFC announced that the first thing they announced was the fact that Robbie Lawler will be defending his title at UFC 201 against Tyrone Woodley. Now, I was really shocked by this just because of the fact that, you know, Lawler and Woodley, they actually work from the same camp. They have a lot of history. But I really love this fight. I mean, this is one of those fights where, you know, most people will look around and they'll look at Lawler and they'll say, without question, one of the toughest guys in the UFC, one of those guys that you can never count out, Mr. Action. He's going to be tough in round one, but he's going to be even tougher in round 3, 4, and 5. A true champion, actually. The only person I ever thought, you know, can actually give him a run for, you know, the title, you know, is George St. Pierre. Now, until today, and when I heard that he was going to be fighting Tyrone Woodley, I personally thought, this is the one guy that has a good shot against Robbie Lawler. They worked in the same camp. They're very familiar with each other. They definitely have a history with each other. This is the kind of guy that could really derail Robbie Lawler's, you know, reign as a champion. And the fact that the UFC announced that they're going to put that on UFC 201 right following after UFC 200. So you have this mega card at UFC 200 that, you know, and everyone knows all the fights that are going to be on there. And we're going to touch on UFC 200 on a totally different podcast. But once that's over, one of the things I thought about is what's next. And Dana and the UFC actually has already answered that by instantly putting in immediately the next pay-per-view event, Robbie Lawler and Tyrone Woodley, which I think is just, like I said, a phenomenal fight. And then that fight's great, but this next fight that they announced just totally shocked me, which is sometime toward July, the end of June, beginning of July, they're going to put Rumble Johnson and Teixeira together. Now, I just touched on this before, but I truly think that was a very smart move. I thought it was a big decision to just let Rumble wait and see what happens between Cormier and Jones, especially with the fact that if Cormier pulls off a win, there's definitely going to be a third fight. I mean, it doesn't matter how Cormier wins. If Cormier wins, there's going to be a third fight, which means that Rumble Johnson has to sit around. If Jones wins, what happens there? Jones has ran off two pretty quick fights between with OSP and then Cormier, and who knows, he may want to take a little time, a little break, after running off two fights. Oh, not to mention if it's one of those situations where it's like Jones and Gustafsson, where, you know, it was a brutal, tough fight, and it may take some time to heal up. It was the perfect decision to put Rumble Johnson against Teixeira. Now, Teixeira, who's coming off of an impressive, dominating win against Rashard Evans, where, you know, I thought Rashard was going to get back on track. I thought he was going to put up a really good fight. And Teixeira made, like, quite easy work of Rashard Evans, you know, and I was quite stunned by that. But, you know, at first I was thinking, you know, is it Rashard that has just gotten old and slow and has, you know, father time has caught him? Or is Teixeira just really has gotten to be that good? And I think it's a little bit of both, but I definitely think that, you know, Teixeira should be in the mix for a title shot. I know a lot of people would say, okay, if Jones wins, then we've already seen Teixeira and Jones. But I think if you put Teixeira in against Rumble Johnson and he's able to, you know, put together a really good showing, I think I would like to see Jones and Teixeira again. If, you know, if Cormier wins and they go on to their third trilogy fight, this would be that fight that, even if they're on that trilogy fight, a trilogy between Cormier and Jones, they can actually have a fight with Rumble and Teixeira. There's still enough time that the winner of that fight can actually wait for the end of the trilogy. And if Jones wins, you know, you have a built-in title match coming up, you know, within the next, by the end of this year, where you're going to either have Jones versus Teixeira or Jones versus Rumble Johnson. Now, I don't want anyone to think that I'm totally taking Teixeira, because no one is more impressive by Rumble Johnson than I am. When you're in the first two rounds of a fight, no one hits harder, no one is more dangerous than Rumble Johnson. And you can ask Cormier that one. He almost knocked out Cormier, which in my opinion is one of the toughest chins in entire mixed martial arts. The only thing that I see where I think Teixeira could have a shot is, you know, Rumble is just a beast rounds 1, 2, and 3. I still question, where a lot of other people don't, what Rumble can do rounds, you know, 3, 4, 5. That's where, you know, even when he was fighting Cormier, 3, 4, and 5 was not a good situation for him. So that's where I see Rumble being dangerous. But Rumble is without question one of the most dangerous guys, one of the most deserving guys to get a shot at the title. I would love to see him and Jones fight. I would still love to see a rematch between Cormier and Rumble as well. So I love that. I love that the UFC actually made some really, you know, fascinating fights coming up with Robbie Lawler and Woodley, along with Teixeira and Rumble Johnson. And then another thing I wanted to touch on before I wrap things up is the fact that I saw an interview with Cain Velasquez, and he was talking about his fight at UFC 200. You know, and one of the things, and I believe it was like on ESPN or one of the sites I saw where Cain was getting interviewed, and he was talking about his back injury and how he's now feeling great, he's ready to go. You know, he acknowledges that, you know, he's had a lot of injuries. He doesn't account it to training wrong or anything. But one of the things I wonder about, because once upon a time, Cain, you could have made an argument that you could make Cain one of the top heavyweights in the history of the heavyweight division. But with injuries, that is starting to fade away. And, you know, I worry when you're talking about a back injury, if Cain will ever be the same. So I'm really interested in seeing how Cain looks at UFC 200. If he looks good, you know, it rolls right into a heavyweight title shot. I would like to see a healthy Cain Velasquez fighting for the title, you know, not at altitude where, you know, but in Vegas where he can be, you know, he's ready to go. I would love to see that. So, you know, I'm very curious about that. He admits that, you know, because of all the injuries he's had, you know, it's going to take a lot for him to actually not show up for UFC 200. So unless there's a major, major injury, Cain will be there at UFC 200. I look forward to seeing it. And with that, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in this week and every week. Next week, we'll be talking about the results from Invicta and UFC Fight Night, along with the fact that we're getting ready for UFC 198. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.